is chapter 2, verse 10. We are actually in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. I feel like I need a little bit of prep work here for us to understand Philippians 3, 16. You know, I was thinking as we listened to that new song, wasn't that a great song? One of the things that they talked about was, what if we told a symphony of God's glory? How neat that would be. How unbelievable would that symphony be? And this morning, I want to start out with saying this. We are God's unfinished symphony. Do you realize that in this life? We are God's unfinished symphony. You know, Franz Schubert, number 8 symphony in B minor, was called the unfinished symphony, and it was named that because he didn't finish it. He lived for about a year and a half farther, and he wrote other music, but he, for some reason, he only wrote, he left out 1.5 movements. Typically, a symphony has 4 movements, and he left out 1.5 movements, and yet it became one of the most popular symphonies that has ever been, and several accomplished musicians and musical clinicians have tried to finish Schubert's symphony and make it come together, and some have been somewhat successful, but for the most part, they've all been forgotten because it simply wasn't Schubert. And, you know, it's funny how we too are unfinished symphonies of God's making. And yet the people around us, even though we know that, even though we know there are pieces in our life that are unfinished, the people around us really want to try to make us finished. Do you know what I'm talking about? The people around us want to make us that finished symphony, and so they want us to be perfect. And if you don't believe me, just ask your mate or your kids or your relatives or friends. They want to assist us to be perfect and complete, but it never seems to work. At least it doesn't work out in my life. And people enter my office quite often and trying to make their mates perfect or their children perfect or whoever it may be, but it just doesn't seem to work. In fact, it wasn't too long ago, a guy stuck his head in the door of my office and said, "Hey, do you have any time available? Because can you fix my wife?" And I thought, I wonder who needs fixing, you know? And he said, "Well, she just seems to have all these imperfections that really need to be shored up." Isn't it funny how we stay unfinished? As much as we'd like to be finished out in this life, we just aren't. And the amazing thing about this is that God has no problem with us. He says in Colossians 2:10, I want you to look at this real close, "And you are complete in Him." You are complete in Him. Man, doesn't that kind of give you fuzzies a little bit? We are totally complete in God. It's just as though Christ is saying, you, me, you are complete in me because of what I did on the cross. We are sufficient in God's eyes. We are adequate. We are satisfactory. We are enough in God's eyes. And yet all the people around us tell us, "Oh, no, you aren't. You don't put your shoes away. You don't do this or you don't do that. Or you're incomplete here or you're not very good at this." And it seems as though the human race is out after to point out to everyone else how inadequate they are. And yet in Ephesians it says this, "To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." We are acceptable to God. Now, you know, when he says that, he's saying you're acceptable right now. Some of this may be new to you. Some of you have heard it before. But it isn't about us being acceptable later. God says we're acceptable right now as we are. And it's so hard. A lot of times I'll tell people that and I'll stop and they'll go, "Yeah, but wait." No, I'm not going to wait. We're acceptable as we are. We are complete in Him. It doesn't mean that we have to know a little more theology and then we're complete, or we need to be able to pray better and then we're complete, or we need to at least read the Bible through once all the way through and then we're complete. or we need to teach Sunday school or something, and then we're complete. No. We are complete in Him, the Scripture says. God holds no grudge against you or me. And yet, in our regular lived out lives, we're quite incomplete. It's as though God puts on these little rose-colored glasses and goes, oh, there's Steve, what a great guy. There's Kathy, what a great woman. Those kind of things. And He isn't bothered with our incompleteness like we are bothered with everybody else's incompleteness and our own. We just don't have it together like we wish we could. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, why? And I think probably part of it is because we are so afraid of each other's judgment. I think the world would be pretty easy to live in as we walk through the world incomplete if people weren't pointing out our incompleteness. Isn't that true? I mean, just think about it. If nobody ever talked to you about it, wouldn't it be a little bit easier to live? But here's a thought. I'm wondering whether you've ever thought of the incompleteness of your life as being an opportunity more than a burden. Have you ever supposed that sometimes what you do is greater and finer in its incompleteness than if it was all tied up and wrapped up with a bow and all polished? Now, that may sound strange, but there are times when there is more value, there is more power, there is more beauty in a task that seems to be unattainable in our life by our own efforts than a task that is complete, wrapped up, and finished. Now let me just give an example of that. You remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 told the Philippians church about his life and how he really kind of assumed he was pretty much perfect. He tells of the day when he thought he had it made, that he was perfect, finished, wrapped up with his bow and done. And then realized at some point in his life when he came to Christ that he was not perfect. He wasn't completed. Listen to what he says. Philippians chapter 3 verse 4. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. That was a bragging point to him. Concerning zeal and passion, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. But Paul found out that his so-called completeness was not sufficient at all. It wasn't complete at all. It didn't bring him joy. He didn't have the confidence at all that he thought he did. And he discovered that he hadn't attained yet. And we finally get to the verse that says this in 7, but what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Now, let's turn it around. Have you ever got going in your life and you have this certain feeling that maybe you've arrived? Maybe nobody said anything and you're kind of feeling pretty together and undefeatable and you feel pretty good about yourself because there's really no one like you. And then all of a sudden, a word of admonishment, a look of disapproval, a rejection in someone's words that you can hear and feel, and kablam, you fall. And you think, oh, I am not perfect. And you look inside and you realize it hurts because we are not perfect. And you realize also you have bought into your own marketing program that we so want to spread out so people will think we're okay. And here's the reason for the failure. The power of God must work in our life to complete us. The power of God must be in our life and working in our life for us to be completed. We have to trust in Him when we're incomplete. We have to understand that we need to trust Him when we're frail and weak and when we don't have it together. That's the best place for us to be. Have you realized that? When we are not together and we know we're not together, it's the best place to be because God can use us at that point. And Paul says, I have not attained, I'm not perfect, but I press on, and he goes on to the work of growth in his life. And so we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and it says this, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. He'd rather brag in his weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And when he says rest upon me, he means like a setting up a tent on top of us, is what the word means. And I love that. Our incompleteness allows God to complete us. He's our completion. He is our power, the power that we don't have. So he gets to 10, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in those weaknesses or limitation, in reproaches, abusive violences, or in needs, those inevitable needs that we have, in persecutions, in distresses or hardships, for Christ's sake. And then he comes to the verse that we need to hear this morning. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now we want to turn that around. We say, for when we are strong, we are strong. But it doesn't work that way. When we are weak, then I am strong. Man, doesn't the Bible drive you crazy on opposites like that? I mean, there's always opposites to our conclusions. Opposites, opposites, opposites. You know, think about it for a minute. When I am weak, then I am strong. When I am last, then I'm first. But when I'm first, then I'm last. When I am proud, I will fall. But when I'm humble, he will lift me up. When I am the pastor, you will obey. Oh, sorry. Took it a little too far, didn't I? All right. Opposites, opposites, opposites. So for you and I, to be in a weak position is the best position we can be before God. Because we have to depend on God. We need God in our lives. Amen? Now let's look at our Philippian passage for today and see what God wants us to look at here. Philippians 3:16, that's the verse we're on, but we're going to read 15 to kind of remember where we are. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. And you remember last week we talked about the fact that when we are not like-minded with God, He will reveal that to you and I. And then we get to 16, it says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And so, let me just translate it to see if I can make it a little bit easier to understand. Yet to where we have attained so far, let us walk in what we know so far. Let us be of the same mind with God. Or the New Living Translation says this, but we must be sure to obey the truth that we have already learned. You know, isn't it interesting that in God's kingdom, you, what you learn and what you know, you can live up to, but what you don't know, and God's okay with that. I remember my dad always using a phrase, he said, well, we need to live up to the light that we have. And that's exactly what we're talking about. But God doesn't expect you to live up to what you don't know, which is so contrary to our society, isn't it? In our society, it doesn't matter whether you know about a law or not a law. If you break it, you're in trouble. And so sometimes people, you could be penalized for something. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you violated something or you know you violated it. And you think, well, wait a minute, I didn't know that. Man, I wish somebody had told me that. I mean, just a while back, I I took my sister, my brother-in-law, they were here in town and for a week, and we took them up to the mountains, and we took them to Beaver Creek and Vail and Breckenridge and a few other places we were touring because they just loved the mountains. And we were coming back down, and it was dark out. And I'm going up, I think it was Floyd Hill, you know, on 70 heading towards Denver. And it's a big, long hill. And as you go up it, some guy gets right on my bumper. And with the headlights shining in it, you know, and it's kind of one of those things where you know how the side mirrors start shining in your eyes. And I'm thinking, brother, what's this guy's problem? So finally, I get past this other car and I pull over into the other lane. And he pulls in the other lane, turns on his light, and it's the state patrol. And I'm thinking, oh, man, what did I do? And so he pulls me over, and he walks up to the window, and I have my license and my registration. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what I did. And he says, well, you have a temporary tag in your back window, and your window is too tinted, and you can't see that tag, and it's a violation of the law. And so in my mind, I thought, well, give Chevy the ticket then, because that's the way a car came. But I didn't, of course, say that, you know. And we ended up having a real good time talking together, but my window was too tinted, and so it didn't show. And then, so it says, if your temporary tag isn't showing, that's a violation of law. Well, how do I know how tinted it is before it's a violation of the law? But it's a violation of the law. And he felt like it was too tinted, so it was a violation of the law. I didn't know how dark too dark was. But it didn't matter. It was a violation. He's a great guy. He said, hey, I'm just going to give you a warning. It's no big deal, but you need to get that changed. I said, well, do you want me to get out and tape it somewhere? So, I mean, I didn't know where I was going to tape it. He said, nah, do it when you get home. That is so contrary. Now, I didn't have any problem with him. I just want you to understand. All of you officers in the audience, I am not dogging you. It's just, in our society, it has to be that way. But in God's kingdom, it isn't that way. In God's kingdom, it is what you know about God. Just live up to it. But he makes the rest of us complete. And so he says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained or arrived, let us walk by the same rule. Let us live up to the light. Let us live up to what we know. Let us be of the same mind. It's all right for us to be an unfinished symphony. That's the beauty of God's grace, isn't it? That's the beauty of God's grace, is we can be an unfinished symphony and we're okay with God. We're just not a little okay with each other. Because we're complete in him. As far as God's concerned. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:9. And so we arrive at the opposite. When I am weak, when I am incomplete, when I'm unfinished symphony, through God, then I am strong. He has made us complete in him. And we can set our sights to become more and more mature, and that's what Paul talks about, is reaching out to become more mature. But God is happy with us right now. You know, I was a few days ago, I was in my study, and I love going into my study in the morning, coming in the first thing, and a lot of times, if it's light enough, I don't even turn on my study light. I just, you know, open up my blinds enough, and I sit down in my chair, and I get out my Bible, and my one-year Bible, and I read it. And I came across a proverb, Proverb 19:21, because I have my Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverb, and that was my proverb for the day. And it said this: there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, and by that he means his guidance, that will stand. God will guide us. And it hit me. I can't attempt to do anything without God's guidance. You ever have those epiphanies? You knew it before, but all of a sudden it's a big epiphany. That happened to me. And I was right there. I fell down to my knees in my study. And I said, Lord, I need your guidance. I need to trust in you more through this process. Because it's you that will take a failure and make it into a success. It's you that will take dishonor and turn it into honor. And I realized I needed to focus on him in an even greater way. Because I'm an unfinished symphony. And you're an unfinished symphony. God is still working on you. And it's only him that finishes us. I can only live up to what I've attained to and what I understand about God, and it's the same for you. So the question this morning is, where are you at in that? Are you still trying to be perfect? Are you still, do you have that outer shell that you try to make look perfect because you just know that somebody's going to point at you and say, you know what, you got a big hole in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to hear that very much. You kind of the same way? Man, somebody points at you and says, ooh, you know, man, that's kind of hard to take. And so we kind of cover it up and we put the shell on and we put the front in. In fact, it's so strong in our society, we go, hey, how you doing? Hey, just fine. Right? Now, I know we're passing, so you can't share all the things, but we just have that tendency to put up that front. And if you have that shell and you're putting it on, are you really succeeding? Are you really succeeding? You know, I thought about it, and let me put it this way. What would happen if all of us totally showed our imperfection and weakness? We didn't put up the shell. We didn't put up the front. We were able to just show it. And then we decided, you know what? I'm not going to judge anybody else because I got me to deal with. And you didn't judge anybody else because you got you to deal with. And we're going to deal with myself and with God, and I'm not going to judge you, and you're not going to judge me. Whoa, is that the body of Christ you'd like to be in? Gosh, I'd love to be in that body of Christ. I'd love it if somebody didn't come in and say, you know, you're the pastor here, but you're not very good at this, and you're not very good at that. Well, I'm not. When are you going to get it? Right? I'm no different than you. I've got those incompletions. You've got those incompletions. You've got those failings, and I've got those failings. And so what if we all stopped and loved each other? What if we just thought, you know what? I like everybody here, and boy, they're incomplete. Whatever I can do to help them out in those areas, I'm going to do it. Is that the body of Christ you'd love to be in? Man, I'd love to be in that body of Christ, and we can be that body of Christ. If we decide we're all unfinished symphonies, and it's Christ who completes us. Let's pray. Father, I come this morning. You know, Lord, I look at this, and it's so hard on this. We keep judging everybody else to kind of cover up our own problems. And Lord, we are imperfect people, and we will be imperfect people until the day we hear the trumpet and the archangel yell, and we go to be with you, and you will complete us in a great way. And Father, help us to accept the failures, the frailties, the incompletenesses we have with each other and just love on each other. Lord, will you drive that home this morning to us that when we are weak, that's when we get our strength in you. In Jesus' name.